And the plain water being. श्री ऋषभ उवाच नायं देह देह भाजांग निलोके कष्टान कामान अर्ह देवी रुजांग जे तपो दिव्यंग पुत्र काजीन शुद्ध शुद्ध सत्यं शुद्धेत जस्मान ब्रह्म सौखम तु अनंत. This is fifth chapter of the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the last contribution of Vyasadeva. Srimad Bhagavatam Nigama Kalpataru Galitam Phalamidam. In the beginning, introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva giving the information that this Srimad Bhagavatam is the Nigama Kalpataru Galitam Phalamidam. Nigama means Veda. So compare the Vedas as a tree where you can get many fruits. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is described as Nigama Kalpataru Galitam Phalamidam. Kalpataru means desire tree. Desire tree, you can get any kind of fruit from that tree. In the material world, there are many different types of trees, fruits and flowers. But you can get one type of fruit or one type of flower from a particular type of tree. But there is another tree that is in the spiritual world that is called desire tree. Whatever you want from that tree, you can get. Kalpataru. The spiritual world, description of the spiritual world is there in the Brahma Sanghita. Chintamani prakara sadma su kalpa brikha. There the trees are kalpa brikha. Nigama kalpataru. Kalpataru or kalpa brikha. The same thing. So, Vedas means knowledge. So from the Vedas, you can get all kinds of knowledge, both material and spiritual. Therefore it is called Veda, knowledge. So, in that tree of knowledge, the ripened fruit is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is written by Vyasadeva after writing four Vedas and the 18 Puranas, the 108 Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, and Mahabharata, in which Bhagavad Gita is set up. So, after compiling all these Vedic literatures, Vasudeva was not satisfied. Then his spiritual master advised him to describe the activities of the Supreme Personality of God. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavat, Bhagavan, the word Bhagavat, and Bhagavat is also in relationship with Bhagavat or Bhagavan. So, every sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam is full of spiritual information. If we take advantage of this great Vedic literature, then we become fully aware of Bhagavan and the devotees of Bhagavan. Therefore it is named Bhagavatam. But this Bhagavatam has to be studied from the very beginning and take the lessons from live Bhagavatam. There are two kinds of Bhagavatam. One is Grantha Bhagavatam and the other is the Person Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that if you want to understand Bhagavatam, then you must approach a person whose life is Bhagavat. He said, Bhagavat Parogya Bhagavatasthane. That if we learn, listen Srimad Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavatam, then it is very easy to understand the spiritual knowledge given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, here Rishabdev was the father of Maharaj Bharat, under whose name this land is called Bharatvarsha. Bharatvarsha is derived from the name of Maharaj Bharat. So his father, Rishabdev, he is accepted as incarnation of Krishna. So he is giving instruction to his sons before retirement. In our Vedic culture, there is compulsory retirement. There is compulsory retirement. That is Vedic civilization. Varnasram dharma. What is going on, and we are going on in the name of Hindus, but Hindu is not mentioned in the Vedic literature. In the Vedic literature, the principles or the institute followed by the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha is called Varnasram Dharma. That is real occupation. Varnasramacharvata purushena parapaman Vishnu aradhati pungshang nannat tattosukaran. Whole Vedic civilization means realize God. That is Vedic civilization. Vishnu aradhati. We are part and parcel of Vishnu or the Supreme Lord, as it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, mamai vāṅśa jīva-bhūta. Jīva-bhūta. These living entities, not only human beings, but everyone, sarvajonishu kaunteya. In every form of life, the living entities are covered with the material dress. So, Bhagavad Dharma or spiritual life can be understood when one has understood his identification, what he is. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, the first lesson given by Krishna to Arjuna is to bring him to the spiritual platform. When Arjuna was lamenting on the body of his relatives on the other side, he was too much affected in the bodily conception of life. How I shall fight with the other side? They are all my brothers, nephews, my teacher, my grandfather, and who has fought with such enemies in the history? Everyone fights, there is fighting, but not fighting with own men, even at the present moment, although there is sometimes civil war. So, Arjuna was too much affected by the bodily conception of life. That is the disease of this material world. We are thinking in terms of this body. But the Shastra says, yajyasyatma buddhi kunapi iti dhatuke sadhik kalatra adishu bhoma ijyadhi jatirtha buddhi salilena karhichi janesu avignesu saiva gokhara. The bodily conception of life is animal life. If I think that I am this body, I am Indian, and you think that you are this body, you are American or Englishman, in so many ways we are designated. So long we think in these terms of knowledge that I am this body, just sattva buddhi kunapi iti dhatu. This is a bag of three elements, kapha, pitta, vayu. Or if you don't understand kapha, pitta, vayu, we can understand that this body is made of flesh, bone, mucus. What we'll find if we dissect this body? You'll find flesh, blood, bone, urine, stool, so many things, these material things. But if we think that I have this body, composition of blood, flesh, bone, and urine and stool, is that very good intelligence? No. Therefore, Shastra says, anyone who is thinking this body, combination of these elements, combined together, it is called tridhatuke, saeva gokhara. Such person is no better than the cows and the asses. Because I am not combination of this blood, bone, flesh, and urine and stool. I am not this combination. Aham brahmasmi. I am spirit soul. This is really realization, knowledge. So unless one comes to that platform, that I am beyond this blood, flesh, bone, urine, stool. Aparayam itastu vidhi me prakritim para. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, that these material elements, earth, water, air, fire, sky, mind, intelligence, ego. These are eight separated energy of the Supreme Lord. And the Lord says, aparayam, these elements are inferior energy. Itastu vidhime prakritim para. Beyond this, you try to understand there is another nature, prakriti. What is that another nature? Jiva bhuta mahabaho jayidam dharjate jagat. That is jiva bhuta. So mamaivamsa jiva bhuta. These living entities, Krishna says, they are my part and parcel. So we are now covered with these material energies, although I am spiritual energy. This is our position. So this human form of life is a chance to understand that I am not this body, I am spiritual energy, I am Brahmasmi. This chance is given to the human form of life, not to the cats and dogs. So, the same principle is explained throughout all the Vedic literature in different ways, just to understand one's identity, that he is not this matter, he is spirit soul. And when you understand, then the next stage will be, then what is my duty? Because at the present moment, we are acting on the bodily concept of life. How this body shall be kept in comfort, how the bodily relationship, wife, children, family, community, society, nation, they're all expanded bodily concept of life. So, in any conception of this material world, if we live, then we are living like cats and dogs. We are not living as human beings. Otherwise, where is the difference? When we see on the street, two dogs are fighting. One dog is thinking, this neighborhood is my jurisdiction. And why you have come from other jurisdiction in this neighborhood? The fight. The bodily concept of life. Or he's thinking, this neighborhood belongs to me. Why you have come from other neighborhood here? I say sometimes to my student, this is immigration department. One dog is barking on other dog. Why you have come here? It is dog conception of life. The spiritual conception of life is that everything belongs to God. That is the fact. Ishavasam midam sarvam. Everything belongs to God. The land, water, the sky. It is said, bhumi rapa analo vayu. This is expansion of the energy of God. So what is the use claiming God's property as my property? That is mistake. Jasyatma buddhi kunam. This body is also God's property. Everything God's property. Because Krishna says, bhumi rapa nalo vayu khangamano buddhi reva. This microphone, what it is? It is made of some earthly metal, wood. But the material belongs to God. I may have taken advantage of taking this material and manufactured something. That does not mean it is mine. If a carpenter makes a good furniture and the wood is supplied, by somebody else, and the carpenter is paid his wages, when the nice furniture is made, to whom it will belong? To the carpenter or to the person who has supplied the ingredient? It is very common sense question. So, actually nothing belongs to us. We also do not belong independently. We are not independent. Krishna says, jiva bhuta, mamaivamsa. We are part and parcel of Krishna. Just like this finger is part and parcel of my body. So the finger has no separate existence. If this finger is cut off from my hand and it has a separate existence, it will fall down on the street. It has no value. Others are trampling down. Still nobody cares for it, although it is the same finger, but cut off from this body. But so long this small finger is attached to this body, it has value. If there is some disease or pain, I can spend thousands of dollars for curing it. And when it is cut off from my body, it has no value. Similarly, we being part and parcel of God, when we are forgetful or cut off, it cannot be cut off, but still, when we forget God, then we have no value. The same example. When I ask my finger to come here and give me some itching sensation, then the finger is in normal condition. And if the finger cannot give me any service, that is useless. Similarly, we being part and parcel of God, our business is to give service to God. That is our normal condition. And if we do not give service to the Lord, if we keep separately, then we have no value. This point is stressed here, that nāyāṅ deha deha bhājāṅ niloke kastāna kāmān ar hati bīr bhujāṅ ji. Rishabhdev is advising to his sons, my dear sons, this body especially, ayaṅ deha niloke, in the human society, it is not to be spoiled. Nāyāṅ deha deha bhājāṅ kastāna kāmān. It is not to be spoiled. Engaging is uselessly, very hard labor for satisfaction of the senses. Because this kind of business is there. Birbhujang means the stool-eater hogs. The hogs are stool-eater and they are working very hard day and night, and the business is kastan kaman, to satisfy the senses. These two business, where to find out source of income and eat anything without any discrimination, just like the hog has no discrimination. It is prepared to eat even stool. So this kind of life, to work very hard and get foodstuff without any discrimination, and then satisfy the senses without any discrimination of sex. A hog, you'll find, they have no discrimination of sex, mother, sister or anyone. You'll find these are the natural instruction. So therefore, the example is given here, my dear sons. Don't live like hogs, toiling whole day and night and eating stool, and without any sex discrimination you go on satisfying your senses. This is the first attack to the human civilization, that simply work very, very hard and then satisfy your senses, and you take it as civilization. It is not civilization. If we think about these two lines, then we can find out that our modern civilization, it was formerly also the same, but not so extensively at the present moment in this age of Kali. The hog civilization is spread very widely. Therefore, this instruction is very important. Nāyaṁ deha deha bhājāṁ niloke kastān kāmān arhati bhīr bhujāṁ. Human life means very peaceful life without any trouble. That is Vedic civilization. These books written by Vyasadeva, he was writing these books, such exalted knowledge in Haridwar, in a secluded place, very peacefully situated, and that knowledge was taken by the Kshatriyas and they were distributing, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, imam rajarsayo vidu. Vedic knowledge was first of all taken up by the Kshatriyas. The Brahmanas, they used to cultivate knowledge and they used to advise the Kshatriyas, the rulers, and they took it and they distributed to the general mass of people for the elevation of this spiritual platform. This is civilization. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Chaturvarnam maya sistam guna karma vibhagas. This is creation of God, Chaturvarnam, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. This is called Varna. And spiritual cultivation, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. So our civilization, Vedic civilization, means Varnasam Dharma, following the four principles of Varnas and four principles of Ashrama. The ultimate goal is God realization. That is the human civilization. If there is no God realization, simply working hard day and night for sense gratification, it is accepted as hog civilization, dog civilization. That is stated here. Nāyaṁ deha deha bhājāṁ niloke kastān kāmān arhati bhīr bhujāṁ. Then, if we give up this kind of civilization, then what is to be done? Tapo dibbaṁ putra kājīna sattā suddhe. The next engagement is tapasya, tapo. Tapasya means austerity, penances, voluntarily acceptance of something, some means of activity which may not be very palatable, but still we have to do that. Just like a patient, if he is forbidden by the physician not to take a certain type of foodstuff, it may be pain just like typhoid fever. The doctor advises, don't take any solid food. But if I am accustomed to take paratha, so in typhoid, to take paratha means death. Similarly, we have to follow the Shastric injunction. If we really want to come out this material bondage means this body. Our real problem is this body that we do not know. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma jadindriya pritaya aprinoti. This will come, that we have now become mad after sense gratification. Pramatta means prakushta rupena matta. Matta means mad. And when this affix is there, prefix is there, that pra means prakushta rupena, sufficiently mad. So in this material world, we have become sufficiently mad. Not only mad, but sufficiently mad. Nunam pramatya kurute vikarma. And we are engaged in activities which are forbidden. Forbidden. Just like we are drinking, this is forbidden. We are eating meat, this is forbidden. We are having illicit sex, this is forbidden. We are having gambling, this is forbidden. This is called vikarma. But because we have become mad, we are, whole human civilization is meant for these four things. Illicit sex, meat eating, and intoxication and gambling. So nunam pramatta kurute vikarma jat indriya pritaye aprinoti. So we have become mad and we are engaged in this forbidden work. If we want to get out of these clutches of material bondage, then we must stop these forbidden activities, the activities of a madman. If you go on like that, then we shall have to accept another material body. The problem is that you are suffering threefold miseries, every one of us. Maybe the degree different, but under being intoxicated, we do not take the sufferings as sufferings. That is another madness. But the sufferings are there. That is being pointed out by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Janma mittu jarab vyadhi dukho dosanu darsana. You may be very perfect by arranging your material civilization to enjoy life, but you will not be allowed to leave. That we do not see. There is no insurance. I am making very nice arrangement for my future enjoyment, having bank, good bank balance, nice skyscraper building and other things. But where is the guarantee that you shall leave and enjoy? That we do not see. Therefore we are mad, mad. If you are arranging something utopian for happiness, and if you understand that I shall die tomorrow, then immediately my enthusiasm will decline. Who is going to take so much trouble? I am going to die tomorrow. So tomorrow, not say 100 years after, you will have to die. You cannot escape this. Janma mittu jarab vyadhi dukho dosanu darsana. So therefore Krishna says that you are very scientifically advanced. There is no doubt about it. But what about your death? That why you shall accept death? You are eternal. Na hannate hannamane sarire. You do not die after the destruction of this body. Nitta sasatayang na hannate hannamane sarire. These informations are there. But you are not considering that. We are going on to establish ourselves very tightly in this material world. But Krishna says that you will not be allowed to leave. These things are to be considered. Therefore they have been described as pramatta. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma jat indriya pritaye aprinoti. They are acting sinfully, or they are committing so many sinful activities, and they are becoming entangled for another's body, which is the resultant action of our sinful activities. Therefore Rishabhdev says that nasadhu manne, this is not good, that you are wasting your time simply for sense and gratification, and you do not know that you have gotten next life. Dehi nasmin jatha dehi kaumar jo banang jara tatha dehantara prapti dhirastatta namayati. You are living entity, you are not this flesh and bones. You are spirit soul, and you are within this body. You are now entrapped with this material body. And so long you will act irresponsibly, you will get another material, tatha dehantara prapti. You will get another body. And that body is not guaranteed. There are 8,400,000 different forms of body. Sarvajonishu kauntya, although the spirit soul is there. But this particular type of body, the hog's body or the man's body or the demigod's body, there are so many. Jalajanavulakhani, Savara, Lukhavinsati. There are 900,000 forms of body within the water. Savara, Lukhavinsati, and there are trees, plants, 2,000,000 forms of body. So we have already gone through all this body and we have got this human form of body after many, many millions of years by evolutionary process. Therefore, Rishabhdev says, Ayangadeha, this body, don't think it is ordinarily received. Nayangadehadevahajanga, nilope. In the human society, you should not waste it like the hogs and dogs simply for sense gratification. This is the Bhagavad instruction. You should soberly use it. So, how soberly used? That is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Jyanti deva vrata devan pitrin jyanti pitrin vrataha bhuteja jyanti bhutani madjajinopi jyanti ma. You can utilize this body properly for a higher standard of life. You can go to the higher planetary system. The higher planetary system begins from the sun. That is another subject matter. But so far we get information from Srimad Bhagavatam. There, sun, then moon, according to Bhagavatam. And I think we are talking about this thing, that whether the moon is the first planet or the sun is the first planet. So far we understand from Vedic literature, the moon is the second planet. The sun is the first planet. If we consider like that, then moon is beyond the sun planet. The estimation is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. 1,600,000 miles above the sun, the moon is situated. Now, if we take consideration of the sun planet situated 93,000,000 miles from Earth, then add 1,600,000 miles again, it comes to 95 million miles away from the earthly planet. And how you can reach there in 4 days? 95 million miles away. If we apply our common sense, then it appears they have never gone to the moon planet. It is all bogus propaganda. It is not possible. So, Shastra Chakshusha, our knowledge should be through the Shastra. That is practical. And our process of knowledge is this. We get knowledge from Shastra, like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedic knowledge. We do not claim to be very big scientists. That is not possible. But we get knowledge from the best scientific man or person, personality of Godhead, Krishna, Vyasdev, Narad, Asita, Devala. Later on, the Acharyas, Ramanucharya, Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya, Chaitanya. Our process of knowledge is not any speculation. It may be perhaps, no, we don't accept this knowledge. It may be perhaps, these are all foolishness. That means one who has no perfect knowledge, he will say, it may be, perhaps. One who has definite knowledge, why he will say, it may be. It must be. That is knowledge. Just like we get knowledge from the Shastra, Jalajanavalakhani. There are 900 species or forms of life in the water. So we have not gone into the water. But we get from the authorities, Padma Purana, and we accept it. So our process of knowledge, you may say that you have not practically experimented, but what you have experimented, you also hear from others. You believe that they have gone to moon planet, you have not gone. You have heard from somebody in the newspaper, that's all. That is your authority. So if you can believe in the newspaper, then I cannot believe in the shastras. So it is a different source of knowledge, but one text, one source, another text, another source. Our source of knowledge is Krishna or Krishna's disciples. That is our. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarsayo vidha. This is the source of knowledge. Avaraha pantha. Knowledge coming from higher authorities. Just like this of that is giving knowledge to his sons. That is natural. Sons take advice from the father. That is the beginning of knowledge. If a little child asks the father, my dear father, what is this machine? The father says, my dear child, this is called microphone. So when the child says, after hearing from the father, that it is microphone, that is perfect knowledge. The child may be a innocent child, he does not know, he is not a scientist. But when, after hearing from the authority father, if he says it is microphone, that statement is correct, there is no mistake. Similarly, we may be fools and rascals, that's all right. But when you receive knowledge from Krishna, who says, asmin dehe, dehin asmin, jat kaumarajo vana, tatha dehantara prat. When Krishna says that within this body there is the living soul, and the living soul is transmigrating, tatha dehantara prati. As we are getting different bodies in this life also, from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to old body, then what is after old body? Tatha dehantara prati. You get another body. But we do not know what kind of body we are getting. Where is that science? Where is that education? That there is dehantara prati, there is transmigration of the soul, and there are so many different types of body. Suppose in this body I am very comfortably situated, I am a very big man or very great minister, politician, everything is all right. But in the next life, if I am going to get the body of a dog, who can check it? Nature's law will go on. At that time, as minister or big man, if you dictate that give me a body like this, that will not be heard. You'll get a type of body according to your karma. Karmanadaivanetrena jantar deho vapatti. According to your karma, you'll get a type of body. This is nature's law. Prakite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarva. You are completely under the grip of nature's law, we cannot change it. If we challenge that there is no death, no, death will come, that is nature's law. And if you want to stop death, then that is another process. That is described here. Tapo dibbang putra jina sattang suddhe. You have to accept this process of austerity by which he'll purify your existence, then you'll get deathless life, eternal. Jadgatyana nivartanti taddhamam paramam mama. Takta dehang punarjanma naiti mamiti kohuntiya. This is the science. This Bhagavata literature, this Vedic literature is giving you information how you can revive your original eternal life. Nitta sasatayang nahannati hannavani sarire. That is the business of human life, not to become mad like hogs and dogs and simply work very hard very stool and eat it and get some strength and then enjoy senses. This is not life. This is not civilization. So Rishabhdev's instruction is tapo dibbam putra gajina sattang suddhe. Why it is necessary to purify my existence? Suddhe jasmat brahma saukham tu arantam. You are seeking after happiness, but your happiness is being checked. You have made very good arrangement for enjoying life, happiness, but it is being checked. You have to die. You make all nice arrangement, but you have to die. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Mrityu sarva harascham. Aham, Krishna says that those persons who do not want me are persons who do not like to understand God. They will see God, me, when? At the time of death, as Hiranyakashipu saw. He challenged always God. His son was devotee, and that was a misunderstanding between the father and the son. So this father says that God is enemy, Vishnu is my enemy. You do not take the name of Vishnu, and the child, boy, will take that is the cause of enmity. So, at the end, he saw Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu saw Nrisimhadev. Immediately finished everything. So that is the case of everyone, that one has to meet death. And at the time of death, whatever arrangement he has made for so-called happiness will be taken up. Mrityu sarva harascham. Then he will be offered another body. It may be a human body, or it may be a dog's body or hawk's body, and we have to accept it. Prakita kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa. Ahankara vimuratma karta aham iti mannate. Karanam gunasanga asya. Sadasat janma juni. So, the laws of nature is working, and it is infecting a particular type of the more material nature, he is preparing his next body. Karanam gunasanga asya sadasat janma juni. So in the human form of life, if you do not purify your existence, if you do not realize God, if you do not understand what is my relationship with God, then we are simply wasting time living like cats and dogs. These things should be stopped, and our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for stopping this rascal civilization and giving him life. Thank you very much. Yes? Bharat, Bharat Mahar, yes.
Yogut sir was just beginning. I couldn't get it. And I feel, personally for myself, that the Bharat was the name of the son of Dushyant and Shakuntala. And from that it has been derived.
There are two, three Bharats. So, Shakuntala's son was Bharat. Ramchandra's brother was Bharat, and the Rishabhdev's son was Bharat. But from the Shastric information, we understand this Bharatvarsha is meant from the name of Rishabhdev's son Bharat.
Name of?
Bharat.
Rishabhdev's son
He had 100 sons. The eldest son's name was Bharat.
What do you think about the philosophy of reincarnation? Do you think it has brought
into... I do not think anything. I have already explained. we do not think, perhaps, maybe.
You know. You're saying the reincarnation is there.
Yes, that is stated in the Shastra.
What is your opinion about it?
I have no opinion. I take Shastra as it is.
You must have, after you are learned, you have seen a thing. We are very grateful for this timely inspiration that we must turn about. Our basic purpose is self-realization through purification. The need of the human life is to nothing short of that mission. But what I want to point out, my general difficulty is that it is so, if not impossible, it's so difficult to turn about or to outgo.
They train children as babichari. So how you can expect good civilization? So everything is there. It is very difficult, undoubtedly. But if you train from the very beginning of life, that is stated by Prahlad Maharaj. Kaumaro acharet praga dharman bhagavatani ha durlabha manusanga janma tadapi adhurvam arthadam. He says, he was a child, 5 years old. He was, his other, in tiffin hours, the other children of the demons, they were playing. And Prahlad Maharaj was asking to sit down and hear him. He was preaching. My dear friends, kumaram acharet praga dharman bhagavat. Don't spoil your life by praying. Now, this is the period of understanding Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma means to understand God and our relationship with God and act accordingly. That is called Bhagavad Dharma. So, Kaumaro acharit pragna dharman bhagavat. If you want, we might have done mistakes in our life, but if we train our children in the brahmachari system, and gradually they understand the Bhagavad Dharma, at least their life becomes perfect. And in the Bhagavad it is ordered that you'll find all this in this Rishabdesh instruction. Pita na sasyad, janani na sasyad, sajano na sasyad, guru na sasyad. One should not become guru, one should not become kinsman, one should not become father, one should not become mother. Namo chayajya samupita mittum. If one cannot give lesson to the children, how to avoid death, this is the duty of the guardians, of the government. How to avoid death, where is that education? So that is the defect of the modern education. There is no training. So, gaddulika pravaha, it is going on. Very risky civilization.
I was also pointing in a different way, that we are so helpless, we are born as human beings with inherent weaknesses and shortcomings, like kaam, krodh, moh, lobh, isha.
Yes, that I know, but you can rectify it, provided you like. But if you don't like to rectify yourself, how it can be done? If you are thinking that you have got so many defects, you rectify your defects, just like these European-American boys. They were all illicit sex hunters and drink intoxicators and meat eaters, and that is their daily affair, how they have given up. They have decided that we shall rectify ourselves. You rectify yourself, then you will be able to do. Are you prepared to rectify yourself? Nature has made you a dog. Why should you remain a dog? You should become a human being. That is your duty.
A devotee, your Swami devotee, a person is left or becomes fate or left.
No, fate can be changed. I understand. These questions are generally put. Fate can be changed.
By man?
Yeah, by Krishna consciousness. Karmani niddahati kintucha bhakti bhaja. Others cannot change their fate, but only the devotees can change. How? Krishna says, ahankara sarva papebhya mokkhayishyami. Krishna says, I shall give you protection from all the resultant action of your sinful life. There is fate change. If you don't surrender to Krishna, then you have to suffer and enjoy the actions of your fruitive activities. But when you surrender to Krishna, He takes charge of squaring up all your sinful activities and their reactions. That is, so you surrender to Krishna, then your fate is changed. Otherwise, it is not possible.
Your Divine Grace, on behalf of the residents of the Jodh Bagh colony, I thank you most sincerely for coming here, taking the trouble of coming here and giving this learned discourse. In the inscrutable past and from the hoary ages, this land of ours has thrown up great masters who have drunk deeply at the inexhaustible spiritual knowledge handed over to us generations.